Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show.
Truth, because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Joel Elston here. It's Thursday, July 21st, 2016. And today in the news, we are not going to look at the news. How's that for a novel approach? Actually not looking at the news. There are some people who would probably, you know, go into like a diabetic fit if they did that. But there are also other people who have tried it and found it to be pretty good. In fact, Joel, you're one of them. You've actually been on kind of a roll of not being paying attention to any of the news.
Well, and first of all, great to talk to you again, Walt. I look forward to this every week.
Likewise.
We had talked a couple of weeks ago, and it was probably off air, that it has been, the news of late has been, at least from my perspective, very concerning. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's always breaking news about this terrorist attack or the internal political attacks, and you know, there's always something going on, and it. I've always known that we get conditioned, and the word programming isn't just for the television, it's programming our minds.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
A few weeks ago, I made a decision to turn off the news, and what that meant for me is I normally woke up in the morning and prepare my breakfast smoothie, make a cup of coffee, and I used to watch CNN during that time, or Fox, or whoever. I mixed it up. I like to see all different sides. And I didn't think it was really affecting me because I have a positive perspective, and I discounted a lot of the stuff.
So you weren't really a news junkie, but you paid attention. You wanted to stay informed.
Right. Yeah, we're almost brought up to believe that it's important that we're informed.
Right.
And so I actually had a client was talking to me one day of how stressed she was over our current situation in our country. And I said, well, I could see where you'd be alarmed by that, but I don't – our immediate situation right now is horrible. It's just there's a lot of stuff going on. And I actually said to her, I said, well, why don't you consider not watching the news? And her first reaction was, well, that would be that, you know, almost un-American. And I said, well, really, what – and then I asked myself
– which is exactly what any addict says.
Right, exactly. So I thought to myself, well, you know, you get up and you watch the news every day, and of course I thought I was immune to the programming. As well.
Of course you did.
You know, like any
therapists don't have problems, right?
Exactly. So that's when I made an agreement. I said, why don't we both try this? Why don't we both just turn off the news? Now, when you have a Facebook feed, you are going to see comments from your leftists and your. You know, the extreme liberals, the extreme conservatives are always going to sort of fill you in what's going on. So I also, not that I'll cut off my friendship with them, but I blocked people on my news feed that tend to have political statements.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, just a little tip for people on Facebook. If you don't want to block somebody entirely, but you want to block them on the political stuff, just choose to block every political article that comes through. If you do that for about 3 or 4 days, they'll stop.
Yes. Yes, exactly, and Facebook is they have a pretty good way of doing that. So I did that, and then I started realizing that, you know, the first couple of days it felt awkward to not have the TV on in the morning as I'm getting my breakfast ready, and but at the same time I didn't feel like I was missing anything, and I listened to Sirius XM radio usually in the work. It's just music. I try not to listen to any news or talk radio. And so I just found myself not really becoming less and less aware of what's going on. And there'll be members of our audience that are going, wow, that's sort of sad. But I have to realize I don't have control of the things that are happening around the world. I don't have things that are control of our country, except my duty and responsibility to vote. Other than that, I can't really influence it. And even if you ask me my opinion, Well, that my opinion has no more validity than anyone else's opinion. It's even though I clearly think mine is right, it certainly holds no more value than anyone else's. So,
I'll also throw in one other thing, which is you mentioned the duty to vote and so forth. I'll even throw in that I don't even think you have that duty for my own self anyway, simply because I don't think it's a good idea to choose between one bad candidate and a second bad candidate. If I don't have a good candidate to actually be in support of, I don't want to vote for either one.
Well, and yes, and I agree with that. For example, in this election, where I might not vote for a certain office, there are people on the candidate ballot that I do think are very local people, especially that are on local government.
Yeah, this is probably a good year to vote none of the above.
Right, and so you can leave a space blank, or in my personal case, not influence anyone else. But I'm a libertarian, and I'll probably vote the libertarian ticket on the stuff that I don't have a real strong opinion on, or feel that both candidates on the other side are just, you know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But I do also want to reinforce for people, there is this belief that if you don't vote, you are part of the problem. And I want to make sure that people understand that's not true. That's actually a deliberate lie.
It is, absolutely. And if I go to a – if I were to look at a ballot and say, for example, I had no choice but the two leading presidential candidates, I could not vote for either one of those. That's just, again, a personal decision. So I would be better off not voting than just trying to pick the lesser of two evils.
And the nation's better off if you don't vote. I mean, if we ever have an election – and I'm not saying we're going to, although there's a good chance this year – if we ever have an election where there's a clear dip – in the number of people who vote, it's going to send a clear signal to everybody. Now, will they all interpret the signal correctly? No, they'll start blaming people for not voting. But nevertheless, people who have some intelligence, who are, and I actually will admit there are some of those in government, but people who have actual intelligence are going to look at it and say, you know what, we got to change our game plan here because this isn't working.
Well, and that's a great point, but not to stray too far from where we were.
Sorry, going. Yes, I really strayed. That was like a massive tangent, wasn't it?
Well, you went on the Joel.
That was like, woo!
Yeah, you're picking up my ADD is a little bit, I guess. But the news blackout for me was going really well, and I actually noticed that I felt better not knowing some of this stuff. And
isn't that interesting?
And so I added a component this last week that I have – I'm going to just – it is something new that I'm recommending to all my clients, so our listeners are going to be getting this information as well. I have way too much – I have more electronics than my skill level should be allowed to have. There should be a law that I – one of the things I have is Apple TV. I have an Xbox One. I have all kinds of things. Well, I discovered on my Apple TV that I'm able to just watch YouTube as a regular TV channel, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
And there are limitless law of attraction, positive psychology talks on YouTube.
Oh, unbelievable amount.
I don't know if I could watch them all. I mean, there's...
That's why we've been working so hard to get our show on there.
Exactly. So there are tons on there. So what we've done, what I did was this week, is when I got on, I started saying my morning time is going to be... And this leads into where you and I are going. It's going to be nothing but law of attraction, positive psychology, positive thinking, YouTube videos. And as I'm saying, there's limitless. I mean, Tony Robbins, all his stuff is on there. Mm-hmm. Jim Rohn, all the tons of great stuff. And I started watching. I started listening. And I'm finding my – now, not to sound arrogant, they're not telling me anything that I don't already know. But what they're doing is they're reinforcing deeply what I already believe.
They're helping you with what you're trying to do, which is to reprogram your mind in a positive manner.
Right. And so that idea of – Les Brown said something this week on YouTube that I was listening to that I just really – it hit home, and I knew it. He said, when somebody tells you that you care about and you love, and somebody tells you you can't do it, he said – to undo that, you have to hear it an average of 17 times that you can do it before you really believe it. Because we're conditioned to buy into the I can't better than we can the I can. And that's the point of me listening to these videos every morning. So now, not that I live a negative life in any stretch, but I am finding less and less negative slipping in my life, then, and so I'm also found that, you know, when I'm home, instead of me flipping on the TV randomly and just watching some shows, I still have some shows I enjoy, but I'm now listening more and more to the very, and there's the famous guys that, you know, they're there, and there's also some less famous people there, but that also have some really good points. So I'm encouraging people to daily to listen to, you can listen to our podcast, you can listen to any of the YouTube things, but start surrounding yourself with this and make this your reality. This puts the law of attraction on one of the speakers said, this is like the law of attraction on steroids when you surround yourself with it. You are programming your mind, much like TV programming is trying to program you. You're now programming your mind with the stuff that matters.
Yeah. Yep.
You're investing in yourself.
And that's a key point there, the stuff that matters.
Yes.
Because one of the things that you learn, and by the way, I had an experiment of my own that I did about 30 years ago, not quite 30 years ago, that was pretty much the same thing, except I didn't replace it with positives. If I had, I'd probably still be doing it. But I'll tell you about that in a minute. But the real value out of all this is that when you're able to focus on the stuff that's good for you, all of a sudden there's a shift that happens.
Right.
And that's why it's so important to fill it with the positive stuff, because that's what you're trying to do. You're taking these positive videos and so forth about the law of attraction. But it's also, it's really anything that's positive. It could be Facebook stuff. It could be, you know, if you're subscribed to some sort of feed that has all the funny things that pets do, or, you know, whatever it might be. The point is to make it stuff that feels good to you, because the stuff that they say is important for you to know in the news really isn't important for you to know. It's really not important to know that bad things are happening. If you really want to know that, we can actually let you in on the secret. Hey, guess what? Bad things are happening, and that's all you need to know.
Yes, and the reality is we're not harming. There's almost a sense by disconnecting like this that somehow we're un-American, or we're not in the process, or we're part, as you said, we're part of the problem. In reality, we're removing ourselves from part of the problem. The problem is this stuff is forced down our throat all day, all the time. I had a client at a doctor's appointment yesterday. They had a random soap opera on TV, which I certainly wasn't paying attention to. the president came on with breaking news. And there wasn't anybody else in the waiting room, so I looked around. And before they said, I don't even know what he was talking about, I just turned off the TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, I woke up this morning, so I assume the breaking news is we're not to lose our country due to a nuclear attack last night. So I'm assuming we got through it pretty well. And you know, it was also an interesting thing that I have seen with this is because the news is so fast and furious that the attention span, you know, I jokingly said before I went on my news break, I jokingly said, you know, it's like one week there was something about a gorilla getting shot, a lady, an alligator, and a kid. And there's like, but it changes so fast, you can't keep up with whatever that immediacy is. And everybody has a strong opinion on one way or another of everything from the gorilla getting shot to whose fault it was that the alligator ate the kid. And, you know, it's just, wow.
Let me tell you the story of what happened with me, because it feeds in kind of nicely with this. Back in 1980, I'm going to say 88, somewhere around there, I got so frustrated by what was happening in the news, especially political news, because I've always had a rather perverse interest in that, but just the news in general. I was just so frustrated with having, you know, the inundation of it, and I was recognizing that it was harming me, even though I didn't understand LOA, I didn't understand positivity, I didn't understand all the psychology stuff or the science or anything like that. I just could tell I didn't like the way it was making me feel. So I just blocked for a while. I just refused to watch television, which of course was the way to get information at that time. There was no internet. And I did this for about a 3-year period, 3 to 4 year period. And a couple amazing things happened. First of all, I felt better. I didn't feel great, because that's the key part of what you did. You found ways to replace it with positive stuff. I think if I had done that, I'd still be doing it today. But at least I wasn't feeling terrible anymore. You know how it is with the news, that there's always a whole bunch of negative stuff, and then every once in a while there's one little positive thing that happens. Well, during that period, if you remember, there was one really positive thing that happened, and I didn't hear about it. And that really positive thing was the wall came down. The Soviet Union basically fell apart, and the wall came down, and I didn't know it. Believe it or not, none of my friends mentioned it. It never came up in conversation. I didn't find out till 2 years later that the wall had come down. So I missed on the one good piece of news that came through, except for one thing. I did eventually find out. And when I did find out, guess what I did? I went and looked up all the newspaper articles and found all the cool stuff about how this wonderful event happened. So I didn't really miss it. But what I did miss was all that negative crap that they were trying to dish me for that. It was about a 3-year period that I did this. It was really good from that perspective.
Well, and one of the things, too, and even taking that your analogy further, was the wall being up or down was irrelevant in your world in the sense of the wall didn't exist as far as your world went. And now I know that people are saying, well, that's sort of being selfish, but I was not affected other than being very happy that everything's a little more positive, which I do agree the wall going down was a great thing.
Absolutely.
But the night I went to bed and the wall fell, and the morning I woke up and the wall was on the ground, not a single event or nothing in my world changed at all.
Mm. So by the way, there's a key point there that I really don't want us to skip over. You mentioned it, but I want to make sure we really hit it. People say that if you don't care or don't pay attention or consider yourself not affected by something like the wall coming down, that you're selfish. Let's look at that really closely, because what they're really saying is you are selfish if you don't allow yourself to be negatively impacted or even occasionally positively impacted by what goes on around the world. In other words, selfishness is a refusal to be programmed by other people's events.
Yes, and that's the key, Walt, is other people get to choose what that programming is. Now, I like what you did. When you found out the wall came down, you're able to go back and look at it from a retrospective, and wow, that's pretty awesome. That's like going back and reading history in a very great way.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to filter through all the other negative stuff.
I did filter through it, but I just skipped it. I just looked for the stuff that was about the wall. I didn't have to look at any of the rest.
Exactly. While it was live, you didn't have that ability to filter through the other
stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
And so this is a very exciting time for us that we have, I hear all the negatives about all the electronics and all the advances we have, and we also have access to eliminate information we don't need, which for a long time we didn't have. So now I can look at my goal, I hope, is to live long enough to listen to all of the positive stuff on YouTube and the hundreds, maybe thousands of incredible speakers. And this is what I'm adding that to my day. I'm in my vehicle. And again, because I have on my iPhone, I can download a lot of these things and I can play them in my car over my car stereo while I'm driving. And so again, I'm adding, my goal is to surround it and continue to surround myself with more and more positive reinforcement of what I believe. Now, Les Brown's delivery is much different from Jim Rohn's delivery. And I like them both. They're both great guys. But Mike Dooley's delivery is much different as well. Mm-hmm. And while they all have a little twist that may be a little different, it's all the same thing. Les Brown shares when his mother was a housekeeper, when his adopted mother was a housekeeper when he was little, and he would go to these wealthy people's house with her and help her clean the house. And he got introduced to this law of attraction, positive thinking thing by the gentleman, the man of the house. All he did all day was listen to Napoleon Hill, all the great, positive speakers of the time, Zig Ziglar, and he listened to them over and over, and he would intentionally stay in the study cleaning slowly on purpose so he could absorb all this.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that programmed his mind as a young black child with no real education to understand that all of this was his for the taking by adjusting his attitude.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, what a concept. So you and I, and how that goes into what you, how our goals are going and where we're going. And this is a reinforcer of what I want to happen, what I'm expecting to happen with our radio show, is we could be a part of that by having a live positive experience every day.
That just makes me feel tingly all over thinking about that.
Yes. Well, and that's the great thing, because I'm experiencing in my life right now that this is a piece that I've sort of evolved to, that I can't imagine stopping, by the way. I don't see an environment for me. I'm actually contemplating, if it weren't for football season coming up.
There are priorities in life.
There are priorities. Let's be serious. But if it weren't for football season coming up, I probably would go totally cut off the cable, internet.
Mm.
Not the internet, but the DirecTV I have. I probably would have no need for it. But this is such an awakening for me, the last little bit that I've added since the last week. This morning, I got up, my new ritual is to turn on my YouTube videos, and it picks up. Now, sometimes it gets redundant, and I will find a new speaker, or a lot of times the speakers are saying the same thing in different venues. So I try to get new opinions and ideas. While we all have the same vision of the law of attraction, everybody has a little bit different take on it, which I really enjoy.
Mm.
But they're all saying the same thing. You're in control of your perspective. You're in control of this stuff. You're not a victim. And Les Brown points that out. He said, there's many people that look at the deficits of what we have. He said, look at your strengths. Focus on your strengths. Mm-hmm. Every day, what are your strengths? Let's put power where we do have strength. He tells an amazing story of him getting into radio early. And he was a disc jockey. And he would show up to this radio station and said, I'm Les Brown. I'm very interested in a job here. I would love to be a disc jockey. And this guy said, do you have any experience? He goes, absolutely not. And just told him, and the guy said, we're not hiring right now. He said, well, I'll sweep. He goes, we're not hiring. The next day, Les Brown goes in, shakes the manager's hand, say, I'm Les Brown. I'm looking for a job at your station. He goes, weren't you here yesterday? And he goes, yes, but I didn't know if somebody got fired. Or there's a new opening. And so finally, and then again, the third day, the guy said, I know who you are, before he could say anything. And I know you're looking for a job. We don't have anything available. And I thought I said, stay away. And he said, well, I didn't know if somebody had died or there had been a change. And the guy was pretty frustrated. On the fourth day, he walks in before he can say a word.
I give him a lot of credit for walking in on the fourth day, by the way.
Yeah, he did. And the guy said, give me a cup of coffee. That's a true story. And he moved on. He started cleaning the station. He then eventually operating the board, monitoring everything in the background. He tells a story of a gentleman who was a disc jockey that was drinking on the air. It was a weekend. There was nobody else there. The guy literally drinks and passes out on the air.
Really? Wow.
The manager calls him and says, well, you need to get another DJ in there ASAP. And Les is like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And ends up taking over the microphone, and the rest is history.
Wow.
And it's a great story, because he could have allowed the negative of the gentleman telling him no, or he could just, I'm so sure this is what I want, I'm not going to quit.
Mm.
And he said that programming early reminded him of that.
Yeah.
And it's a great lesson for us. And, and I'm not saying every one of those situations will always work out.
No.
But it he was obviously picking up something in the man that the man was obviously getting a little bit of a positive feedback, at least with his facial expression, for him to keep coming back. But he did, and he got the job, and it launched him into what he, very successful today.
And you're right that it's the kind of thing that won't work out every time, but it's amazing how often it does work out.
Yes.
I mean, I can tell you another anecdotal story. This is a student who went to a very alternative school growing up, where there were no formal classes and the students were in complete control. It was, from the point of view of your traditional educator, it was complete anarchy. But it's a very successful model. And this particular student comes out of the school and she wants to go to college. And here's from one of the staff members, I believe, that the particular program that would match what her interest was at a small school in, here in Connecticut, where I am, called Wesleyan University. And so she said, okay, well, I'm going to apply there. Now, she remember, she has non-traditional education, so there are no grades, no transcripts. She has none of the traditional accoutrements that students have in order to get into a school of any kind. So she contacts the school and calls up the admissions office and says, hi, I want to come to your school. And they say, well, unfortunately, you're past the application period. What I suggest is you contact us next year at such and such a time, and then you'll be able to apply, and we'll be glad to interview you and so forth. The next day, she gets on the phone and says, hi, I'm so-and-so. I want to apply to come to your school. And once again, the same answer. You're late. You know, the application period is over. We've made our decisions for the year, yada, yada, yada. This went on for a month. Not 3 days, not 4 days. This went on for a month, a solid month. And finally, the dean of admissions heard about it and said, who is that girl? And one of the staff members said, oh, she calls every day, but, you know, we're past the admissions period. What can we do? You know, the rule is the rule. He says, well, get her in here for an interview.
Exactly.
So he gets her in for an interview. They squeeze her in for just 15 minutes into a piece of the schedule that's normally for his lunch hour or something like that. And there's a room packed full of students who are, you know, interviewing to get into the school. So they squeeze her into this 15-minute interview. She's in there for an hour.
Wow.
And an hour later, the two of them, the dean and the girl, come walking out arm in arm over to where the girl's mother is sitting and says, I hope your daughter decides to enroll her. She's here. She's exactly the kind of student we're looking for.
Wow.
She didn't have SATs. She didn't have transcripts. She didn't have anything else that you're supposed to have to get into the school. And yet she got in, despite the fact that the application period was over.
Well, and that's an incredible story, and it's very supportive of her attitude.
Absolutely,
it's amazing, and I know of a foster care kid in a very similar situation several years ago, barely made it out of high school. No SATs were horribly low. He wrote a letter to Harvard.
I love it.
he swung for the fence and explained what happened in his childhood. How both his parents were killed in prison, how he was in multiple foster care homes, how he was abused, and he wasn't complaining, but he was letting him know the background. He said, I need to explain why my grades. He said, but my goal is to be a doctor one day.
Wow.
And the greatest medical school in the world is Harvard Medical School. And, you know, he said that, and everybody just sort of said, well, yeah, there's
you got less than zero chance.
Zero chance of doing it. And, of course, by me telling the story, I could tell you that not only did they accept him, they accepted him on a complete full scholarship for the entire period, which they don't do. They will give scholarships that usually they make you come up with the medical school stuff and all that, complete, the entire time. I'm sure I haven't got the fight. Last I heard, he was a year away from his MD, thriving, and it is a leader at the school, and is sort of a testament to we make assumptions about what our limitations are. We're programmed what those limitations are.
Oh yes,
and the news that we started talking about today, they unintentionally reinforce the programming in our brain as being negative. What's the point?
Well, not just let's be perfectly honest. A lot of it is intentional, because absolutely, they know perfectly well that negative news sells advertising.
Well, that yes, the CNN could care less. Everybody says, you know, they're this way. They're liberal, and Fox is conservative. What they have done is they found a way to get a large audience, and they could care less what it is.
Right.
The
idea of ethics and news really don't go together.
Right.
Walter Cronkite notwithstanding.
To avoid any real problems with him, I won't mention anyone's name, but there could be a lot of assumptions made. There's a very famous conservative talk show, radio show host, and I have a friend that's very close with him.
Hmm.
And he says he's not remotely like the person on the radio.
It's a persona.
He said, yes. He says he has found that the extreme right wing loves his rhetoric, And he, and while he is conservative, I'm not trying to say he's not conservative.
Yeah.
He is not the the ridiculous hardcore person that he plays on the air. It's no, it's a role that
he
plays.
I wonder who that could be.
I can't mention any names because I wouldn't want
to. I won't say, but I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah. So, but it turns out this gentleman is actually a pretty nice guy, and does support a lot of causes you wouldn't think he supported. But again, it's he plays a role.
Well, if he's the person I think he is, he's also a multi millionaire.
Oh, probably close to a billionaire.
Yeah.
Assuming,
yeah.
I know he may or may not have been in several divorces, so that might have been cut way down. But but I know at one time he was very, very highly paid radio host.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that still continues on this today. So he's very well off. But at the same time, he knows he's playing a role.
Mm.
And if he were what he really believed, that would not play into the negative side of everything.
Right.
And he really took off when this really took off for him when the opposing, you know, when during the Clinton administration, he happened. That's when he really got very popular because he was so negative toward the Clintons. And I'm by no fan of the Clintons. I'm not trying to say that, but he got so negative. That's what got his attention.
Oh yeah.
And so he used a very negative dialogue to become famous and make a lot of money. The news organizations do care about ratings and money. That's what they're
after.
Oh yeah. And so, you're right. But by unplugging ourselves from that conglomerate, it's almost like the movie The Matrix, where you can unplug yourself from the Matrix. And
the red pill or the blue pill.
Exactly. And the reality for us is it's always been doable. But it's so easy now to plug yourself into whatever programming you choose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, really key. The ability to decide how you're going to program yourself is really the source of all of your personal power.
Absolutely. In fact,
Joel, I was actually, just yesterday, in fact, I was doing a little search online, looking to see if there was a product out there that I could just buy. And it turns out there isn't. So if there's an entrepreneur listening, here's an idea for you. I was looking around to see, has anyone ever put together a packet of, say, 20 to 30 or more pictures, maybe 50 pictures of happy faces that you could actually just post around your house so that you're constantly surrounded by happy faces? Interesting factoid, Joel. There is no such product like that. And indeed, if you do a search on Google for happy faces, what you'll get is smileys. You won't get many pictures of actual happy faces. You actually have to go looking for happy faces in a big way, doing deep level searches on Google to find any significant number of pictures of people with happy faces. But just imagine what would happen if we were to just inundate our homes with pictures of happy people so that everywhere we look throughout the entire day, we're faced with happy people.
Yes.
Can you imagine what the impact on that would be?
There is it's funny you say that because first of all, that's a great product, but I know of a company that does a lot of customer service. They farm out customer service to big to larger companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they specialize, their specialty is they're more expensive than everyone else. It isn't like you're sending it overseas, but they answer the phone every time. They're very personal with they say the company's name. They say they're really offering very personal individual help for certain companies,
mm-hmm.
and they pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in their office, and do you know those revolving picture frames where they're electronic and they just change pictures all day?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen those. They're amazing. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
They have probably with nothing but smiling people changing constantly.
Really?
Yes.
Now that's pretty close to what I was looking for.
It is. And now they developed that themselves. It's to remind their customer service people that the people calling are the reason they have a job. No matter how frustrating they are why you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So treat them as they are your job. And
that's really good.
Successful.
That's very, very, very forward thinking, I have to say.
Yeah. And what they're noticing, this company is really picking up a lot of traction. Now, again, they're far more expensive than sending your customer service overseas.
Sure.
But what they're doing is they're hiring great people, very happy voices, and they're realizing that there's certain companies out there that have discovered that real quality customer service has value now.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, because so many companies have forgotten what customer service, what the words mean.
Yes.
They think that customer service means to serve them some sort of half-baked, pre-programmed answer to a question that comes in. They've forgotten that customer service actually means serving people, real
yes.
people with real problems and real interests, real lives, and real value.
Yes.
And as a result, we have company after company today that offers what I would call 2-star out of 5 customer service. You don't get many 5-star customer service companies anymore. In fact, I can't even think of any major companies that I've talked to a customer service department on in, say, the last 5 years that I would put at even 4-star. So
right.
that kind of service, absolutely, I agree. I mean, it's not the kind of service that every company is going to want to choose. Most of them aren't going to want to because they're more interested in saving the buck. But the ones who do are going to create a tremendous market differential for themselves.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you're familiar with the company Zappos.
Yeah.
Zappos started, and they have exceptional customer service.
Mm.
They do incredible stuff. They 90% of the time, they free upgrade people to overnight shipping. They do great stuff like that. If you ever contact them, they're immediate in their response. They're wonderful. Now,
I'm glad to hear there's an exception out there. That's terrific.
They do a great job. Now, they have a very loyal following. They're a very profitable company.
Yeah, that's the problem everybody wants to have.
Right, yeah, right. But they're not Amazon. They'll never be Amazon.
Mm.
They're not because, first of all, Zappos is generally not the best price on anything.
Right.
They don't claim to be. That's not the point.
Right.
They aren't always the bottom line cheapest. However, they're always fair pricing. It's not exorbitant. It's always pretty much what retail would be in most situations.
Mm-hmm.
And they have free shipping back and forth. If you want to, if you call and say, I don't know if I'm an 11 or 11 and a half shoe, they say, we're sending you both pairs. send the one back that doesn't fit.
That's pretty cool.
And we're only going to charge you for one.
Just
and then stuff like that. They do amazing things like that.
Yeah.
And they develop a real loyalty by and the criticism that they've had is, well, there will be certain people that take advantage of that. And they said there will be, but the majority of the people, we can get rid of the ones. We don't have to accept everyone as a customer. And going forward, the ones that we are picking up are exceptionally loyal. And I always try to remember, I always shop local first, if at all possible. If it's not available local, I go to Zappos usually. And people say, well, you can save $10 a pair of shoes. Well, maybe, but I also appreciate what they do.
Mm.
So it goes in all areas of our life. And when you program yourself with the surroundings, like your idea of smiley, happy pictures all over the house, all of that stuff, and this week more than ever, I can attest to, I am noticing a difference. And I did not, I didn't realize there was that much room for me to grow. I knew there's always room for me to grow, but I'm realizing, wow, this is the next level that I'm taking it to.
Can you quantify that difference or tell a story about the difference? How is it actually manifested in your life?
I wish I had a exact number, but I will find myself on a normal day where you and I have talked about this, where something will happen, something will come up and you'll get frustrated
syndrome.
Yeah. And then once I have that, I'm like, oh, never mind. But this isn't a big deal. And I pull away. That's my normal operating thing. That's how life has been. And that's better than most people do. I'm able to shut it down before it becomes a real problem.
Right.
I have noticed this week, and here's one example yesterday, actually, that is perfectly sort of, I think, has a direct influence. I've felt better all week. Not that I ever feel bad, but mentally I'm not having those moments.
Which is good.
I have my son Chris needs $100, which is not unusual, and of course he needs it right now. He can't wait for a check until next week. So I have to go send a MoneyGram, which I hate sending MoneyGrams or Western Unions because it's just to me it just seems scamish, and so
there is something kind of sleazy about those services. Yeah,
yeah, it feels odd, but there's no other way he can pick it up that day.
Right.
So I go to the local Walmart here, and we have these Walmart marketplaces, which is usually not very busy.
Right.
And so I get in line, and there's two people in front of me. This shouldn't take long. Well, there's a new gentleman, first time doing the money transfer thing.
Ah. Well, that'll slow it down by about 10 minutes.
And so each time, I could see in the past where I'd get frustrated, because what would happen is he'd have to call the manager over. instead of the manager,
that's painful.
Yeah, my frustration wasn't with the new guy. It was, why didn't the manager just stand there?
Yeah,
and help. But it was very frustrating. The manager kept leaving, and so as I was. I immediately just went back into what I was thinking about earlier in the day, of a thing, about one of the talks. It was complimenting people on their effort and trying to think of other people. So,
there's a challenge for this particular situation,
yes,
to actually compliment somebody for their effort. That's good.
Right. And so the gentleman that was doing it, again, I'm happy he's working. He's in a new environment. And so I reminded myself of that, and I said, I don't have anywhere to go. It doesn't matter if it takes 5 minutes or 20 minutes. I'm going to be okay. So each time he would look toward the two people in line, I'm so sorry for the inconvenience. I'm trying, and the guy in front of me was really frustrated, and I was like, no problem, don't worry about it. So finally, it gets to me, and. Fortunately, the good news is I explained to him. I said, I've sent the money before to my son, so all you have to do is just type in my phone number, find my son's name, and boom. Sure enough, that was easy. And he's, oh, thank goodness this one was easy. And so I gave him the $110 or whatever it is to send it. And afterwards, he said, thank you so much for understanding. I go, no, thank you so much for your effort. I said, the fact that this is very complicated is not lost on me, and you're having to do it standing in front of other people, and the manager happened to be on the other side, and not with the best support possible.
Ooh,
probably.
A little zinger there.
A little zinger, but I was able to, I said, but you're doing an excellent job, and I commend you for that. So I didn't think anything else about it. So I had to go, while I'm there, I had to go pick up a couple things. And so a little while later, he comes up and he has this mint, like a mint that he had in his pocket. And he handed me a mint. And he said, I was thinking about leaving at the end of my shift. This is the most frustrating day I've ever had. But you really, really made me realize that I am still learning and I will really become good at this. But I thank you for helping me today.
Wow, now that's making an impact.
Well, and so the difference, Walt, is, and I'm not, now what would have happened probably before all that, I never would have been rude to the gentleman, but I certainly wouldn't have gone out of my way to, I would have given him more of a neutral stance when I got there. So the idea that I was reminded earlier in the day to compliment people on their effort, even if that effort, it doesn't seem to be, fruitful at the time. And that was a real positive for him, and it was a real positive for me. So I'm noticing now that's stuff I know, but if I didn't have that refresher 8 or 9 hours before that, would I have remembered to implement that? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like you point out, that's the stuff you do know about. What about the stuff that you aren't aware is happening just because you're going out of your way to get the negative out of your life and put more positive into your life?
Yes.
Because we all put out these ripples of effect everywhere in ways that we never even see. I mean, and they can be positive and negative ripples. I mean, you go out and you're the same customer in line, but you decide to start, harping and all that kind of thing. And then you finally get your thing sent and you walk away not realizing that 10 minutes later the guy quit behind the counter.
Right.
So the ripple can work both ways. We have all these ripples happening all the time that we're impacting. well, how much better it is to have that positive ripple, even though you, there's no way you could have predicted he was going to come up to you and offer you a mint and express a story of gratitude of how you essentially helped him decide to stick to his job, really learn it, and become great at it. You'll never have, you never would have found that out. You never would have been able to predict you were going to find that out. But it happened. And it has an extra added benefit for you, because it just reinforced for you, and you just reinforced it for us here on the show, that the whole approach of reprogramming your mind deliberately by feeding in all this great stuff on a regular daily basis actually produced a positive and unexpected result that you were able to see, which was really cool.
Yes, and that is that's one of the many benefits that I'm finding, and I'm sure I'm going to have more as I update, as I continue this and implement more and more in my life, and try not to keep programming the, you know, allowing other people to dictate what I'm programmed, what's programmed in, and that is
which is empowering. You're empowering yourself to decide how you're going to be programmed,
right? And you can't help but be successful when you do this. When we talk about how the law of this is adding so much emphasis on the law of attraction, and when you surround yourself with this, and when our show becomes full time, and when it becomes every day,
this big smile on my face.
Yes, this is what people are going to benefit. The same thing that I'm finding, and that's the piece that I think is missing it with what I have now. While these are great shows from great speakers, it is not live. It isn't happening right now.
And it's not interactive in most cases.
Right. And so the fact that we're going to be interactive, and we're going to be able to on air help people, and while other people listen and then have updates of various things, those are going to be how uplifting could that be? And if people, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, you and I can't do this 20 hours a day, but what if our law of attraction radio turns into an entire law of attraction network where you have this available 24 hours a day in some form or fashion?
You just really gave me that extra juice there, because I'm thinking, yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Because we want to be able to do it as much as we want to do it, but we also don't want to do it 24 hours a day. I mean, nobody
right.
really would. But there are plenty of people out there we could recruit to do it with us.
There are. What I'm liking about what I'm finding on the internet, on YouTube right now, is, again, you have the very well-known folks that are doing it, doing a great job with it. But there are thousands of lesser-known folks that are doing the same mission with the same passion.
Oh, yeah.
And I can know with 10 of them that I thought about, and this is how my mind thinks as I'm listening to them. when the radio network takes off, that person could do an hour or 2 hour show every day or twice a week or something on the, there's plenty of, and they would love it. I don't think Tony Robbins is going to step away to do a show an hour, but there are 1,000 people who would. And that's a piece of it that I could see this really going further and further. And I the law of attraction tells me if I can conceive it, it's going to happen. And what's happening to me is by listening to it, I am now, I've always been convinced this is going to do something at some point. So that isn't new, but I'm thinking much larger than I was thinking before.
Wow. That's really cool. And
yeah,
I'm adding into my mind a realization that there's also a new dynamic that happens in terms of running such a radio station, if you will, or a network, which is you still want to make money on it, you know, and probably there's like an advertising component of some kind. But it's a different approach to how you handle what are often called the analytics, the statistics, the information that tells you about what's working and what isn't working. Because instead of being focused on trying to generate advertising sales by finding the right negatives to focus on, we'd be doing the diametric opposite. We'd be actually trying to find the right positives to emphasize, knowing that it's the positives drawing people in. And man, wouldn't that be a whole lot better way to run a radio network?
Well, and this is so, and that's why Now, one of the great things is that that's going to be your department. Because I, you know me.
Well, I get excited about stuff like that.
You
because
do get it. And I want to just say, Walt, send me a report. And I want that. Let's don't talk.
Why do I go do it all myself? But yeah. I love the idea of thinking this stuff out because right. we have this charged. We have all these preconceptions in our society. You have to do things on the negative. You have to focus on the stress. You have to focus on the conflict. Storytelling is all about focusing on these negative things that happen and turning them into these highly complex and highly tense situations with a resolve at the end, and that's what keeps people coming back. And I say to myself, well, that's probably true for some people, the really dysfunctional ones, but I bet you there's a whole bunch of very functional people out there who would like a different kind of story, who'd like the story to actually have a positive spin to it rather than a negative spin to it, and who would rather have a life that is not devoted to living in chaos and crisis, but rather have a story life that focuses on things are great. We got good things going on, and it gets more and more exciting every single day.
Well, and you, what you described too is for our audience that is old enough. This is formula television that was created. I don't know when it was created, but it was best exemplified on Friday nights many years ago on the back-to-back shows of The Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
Yeah, that's right.
And they had the exact same format where everybody got on the boat or arrived on the island happy.
Mm.
Then they had a big fight in
right.
crisis.
Right.
And then in the end, either Captain Steubing or Mr. Roark would fix it, and then the show ended perfectly.
And the people who showed up would stumble away.
Right, exactly. And what happens is that I was actually listening to an advertising guru that said that it got so predictable that the rates for advertising within the formula of the program, the formula peaked at the climax of the argument.
Mm.
And so the higher rates were at the usually the 30-minute mark of the show. And I'm like, wow.